Good morning and welcome to Friday morning, March the 15th in 2024 on When I Rise, officially Julius Caesar Day, right? Beware the Ides of March. Today we come to the end of Year B, the fifth Sunday in Lent, and on the Friday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the gospel passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. So we find ourselves in the Gospel of John again. I'm going to go to chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. John chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Some Greeks had come up with all the others to worship at the festival. They went to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went together to tell Jesus. "The time has come," said Jesus in reply. "This is the moment for the Son of Man to be glorified. I'm telling you the solemn truth, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains all by itself. If it dies, though, it'll produce lots of fruit. If you love your life, you'll lose it. If you hate your life in this world, you'll keep it for the life of the coming age. If anyone serves me, they must follow me. Where I am, my servant will be too. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor them." "Now my heart is troubled," Jesus went on. What am I going to say? Father, save me from this moment? No, it was because of this that I came to this moment. Father, glorify your name." "I have glorified it," came a voice from heaven, "and I will glorify it again." "That was thunder," said the crowd, standing there listening. "No," said others, "it was an angel talking to him." "That voice came for your sake, not mine," replied Jesus. "Now comes the judgment of this world. Now this world's ruler is going to be thrown out. And when I've been lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself." He said this in order to point to the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of God for us. All right, so there's a lot of things going on in this passage. I think it'd be tough to give a title to this section of the text because there's just so many things going on. And the moment that you're settling in on one theme, boom, like something else happens, right? I mean, in this passage, you got this voice from heaven conferring love and glory upon Jesus. And, some people heard the voice and some just thought it was thunder. And then you have Jesus giving a hint to the type of sacrificial death that he was going to die for the sake of the world. And then, like, as you're thinking about those things, be reminded that Greeks on their own accord are coming to the disciples of Jesus during the festival, and they say, "Hey, we want to see Jesus." And I just love that one line from the Greeks, right? They say, "I want to see Jesus. I don't just want to talk about religious things. I don't just want to see the sights here in Jerusalem. No, like, I want to see Jesus." And isn't that really the soul's ache within all of us, which is we just want to see Jesus? Sure, religious thought and content is great to study about the things of God would be great. And wouldn't it be great among all those things is to see Jesus? So many things we could say here. You know, you might have a particular hankering that, spoke out to you in this text. I think for me, the thing that, meets me at the doorstep of my soul this morning is the Greeks on their own accord coming to talk with Jesus. I mean, this is like a sectarian rich society, particularly during Jesus's time. There's so much purity movements going on within Israel at this time. Once the Greco-Romans, start stomping through their land and abstracting their resources and subjecting their people to servanthood, many people were beginning to say, like, we should not compromise. Like, we need to be as pure as possible. We need to resist the encroaching influence of non-Jews around us, right? If you've been in world history classes, you're just quite aware of just how high octane all this conversation and the activities that swirled around it were during this time in world history, right? And so for Greeks to you know, condescend and to say, actually, yeah, we've heard about the pantheon of gods from our rhetoric and culture, but we want to hear more of this divine healer from Galilee. Like that's surprising to me. And it would have been something that would have caught many people off guard. But this is one of the subpoints of the developing story of the Old Testament, right? God is expanding the covenant people to the ends of the earth. Isaiah said, even the distant islands will begin to call upon God and begin to sing his praises. People from all other nations, some of the minor prophets would say, are going to hold on to the garments of the people of Israel and demand to go with them all the way up to their temple so they could worship their God, right? So this is something they should be looking for, but they were so not ready for it. It's like an unsavory thing for them to imagine that non-Jews would want to know anything about their story. And so here we have like these Greeks coming out of the woodwork, and they want to see Jesus. And that is what spurred Jesus to talk about the fulfillment of all things and how he's glorifying God's name. I don't know about you, but I've been in the Christian story for quite a long time now. I've been trying to follow Jesus intentionally for 25 years. I've been in church ministry and, you know, asking the big questions of where's our faith going, and what are some ways in which we can be faithful yet still engage in ever-changing culture around us. And when new people come in and like new people embrace Christ and they get integrated in our church, like these are great moments that we celebrate because we see these signposts that God is still doing things within the world around us, that it's not just people who are like cradle to grave Christians following Jesus, as wonderful as that is, but new people with a spiritual appetite are finding that Jesus quenches their thirst and he gives them a purpose for life and he helps reframe all of who they are, and they just love being among the people of God, right? And I just continue to hope and pray that we get to see these types of things happen in our churches in the days to come. You know, there's all these, you know, polls and, you know, studies that go out saying that religious influence is waning, that in some regards, Christianity has gone from a very positive thing that culture sees to maybe more of a neutral thing. You know, even some say now that, you know, maybe Christianity is a bit unsavory to more and more of our culture. And so we begin to think, like, how are we going to continue to organize religion around Jesus' sake and to see people, new people be awakened to it? And so I love a passage like this. And I think what it reminds me is that we don't have to be so thirsty, because I think if we take matters in our own hands, we kind of mess it up and make it so weird and awkward. But I think we continue to give ourselves the faithful work of gathering together, of training one another in righteousness and doing the good deeds in the earth, living for the common good with decency and trying to be just the healthiest and most present people in any room that we find ourselves, not just hanging out with our own people, but also being comfortable hanging around all other people and seeking to meet needs and stuff like that. Like, God's going to do the rest. Like, he's going to go ahead of us. And there are going to be more and more people awakened to the idea of wanting to follow Jesus. And so I'm comforted greatly by John 12, of these strangers coming to seek Jesus. And it just gives me hope that more and more strangers, like you and I were at one point, are going to continue to come try to find Jesus. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you still call all people to yourself. And we marvel at how Christianity continues to circle the earth and among the rich and the poor, among the primitive to developed societies, people still reckon with the craving of their soul. And they see Jesus as being the one who can do all things well for them and for all of humanity. God, we do confess that at times we only look out for our own needs. We pay more attention to just what's going on in churches instead of what's going on in the world around us. But we thank you that there are moments that we've had, all of us, in our life where like new people have begun to seek you, and we get to watch them, and we get to watch them discover the joy of their salvation, just like we discovered the joy of our own salvation. And so, God, we know that you're up to something in the earth. We understand that religious influence might go up and down throughout the ages, but we thank you that you're the eternal one. And as long as you endure and as long as you extend your offer of grace to the nations, people will respond. And so we continue to pray that you would finish your work, finish your story. We pray that we might be able to see developments of your story within our own life and within the lives of those around us. We particularly pray for those who are close to us, our friends and family that we hold dear, those who may lack faith today. And we just simply pray that you would awaken them and that they would come to know the love that we have known in Jesus and that their lives would be changed because of it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.